Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. While you're turning there, I want to publicly thank Brother Neil for taking the services. That was a very, very short notice. And I appreciate him taking those services. Hebrews 13:1. I'd like to deal with the first six verses, but before we do, let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, we thank you for this time to be able to come together. And Lord, I ask you, bless your word. Lord, help us. Help us to hear. Teach us. O Holy Spirit, blow upon the garden of the Lord. Blow north wind, south wind. Oh, that the spices may come forth. Lord, I pray tonight that you be magnified. Help us. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. We're starting the 13th chapter, last chapter of the book of Hebrews. We've gone through the history, doctrinal history of the proclamation of the gospel set forth in the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul, I believe, the writer, writing to the Hebrews, teaching them, showing them what was shadowed in the law. It was a picture whose fulfillment was found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now in this 13th chapter, the apostle is going to give under the inspiration of God's Spirit some divine instruction. Instruction for believers. Instruction for believers to live by. I heard Brother Henry Mahan say one time that a lady asked him a question, and she said, does a believer possess the natural, I'm talking about from a new birth. Does a believer possess naturally, now, from that new heart, the ability to know the things of God, the things of their walk, of their conversation, or do they have to be taught? And Brother Henry said the answer was yes on both of them. There's a new heart, and it knows. It's taught by that impartation of that new nature. There's a new heart there. But it needs to be taught also from God's Word. And that's what the Apostle Paul is doing in this last chapter. And I'd like to deal with the first six verses. And as we stop and realize, we need to be taught. I need to be taught. Taught of God. Taught by His Word. Taught by His Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14:21, He that hath my commandments. Commandments written in his mind, considers them, but he said, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them from the heart, watches over them, guards them, not to let them slip. Careful. 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 He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. You know, obviously from that statement, it's possible to have the Word of God in your head and have no heart for it. No desire, no love for it. Understand it. Understand it here. And have no love for it. I gave you this example. It was the best one I could come up with at the moment. I told my daughter when she asked me about the difference in heart and a head knowledge of the gospel. I said, I understand the concept of communism. I understand that. Give everything to the government, and the government gives everything equally to everybody as the government sees fit. That's communism. I'm not a communist. I understand it. I have no heart for it. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, my love for them, he it is, that's the one that loves me. Those that hear his word and has a heart to obey, to know him, to love him, to be found in him. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to follow after him. I want to. I would dare say a day goes by that I truly am not made to remember, if not this particular scripture, but one like this. He that cometh to me. He that comes and comes and comes. He that cometh unto me. I want to come to the Lord. I want to fellowship with him. I need to hear his word. I need to be taught. Well, tonight we've got some commandments, divine inspirations set forth through the pen, through the hand of a writer, but moved upon by the Spirit of God to teach God's people. God speaks through preachers. That's how God talks. He's just... Paul the Apostle said, now, then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you. Now you talk about a miracle of God's grace that God would speak. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. I know this. He speaks through his word, blessed by his spirit, through the mouth of a preacher. I know that. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. Save them that believe. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Apostle was saying, we pray, we beseech, we urge, we encourage you in Christ's stead, as though Christ himself is speaking. Miracle of God's mercy and grace. 1 John 4:6 says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. Someone might say, well, I'm not going to listen to any man. Well, if he's a preacher sent from God and you don't hear him, then you won't hear from God. tonight, ask the Lord. I pray I do. Ask the Lord. Speak to your heart. Lord, speak to my heart. I remember these first six verses contain exhortations, commandments, that a believer knows. He knows them in his heart and needs to be taught, needs to be instructed. Look at verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Someone would say, I don't need to be taught that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We all need to be taught that. Let brotherly love abide. Stay. Endure. What a blessed responsibility is placed upon us. Here is the Spirit of God speaking through a preacher and telling God's people, let brotherly love continue. Because of the proneness for it not to. We're frail creatures. Dust. With that old nature still in us. That old selfish, self-centered, self-righteous nature of sin. That's why Paul said, O wretched man that I am, I see in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. I need to be taught to let brotherly love continue. We're taught to love our enemies. But this right here is the relationship between spiritual family. I need to be told, for every one of you, let brotherly love continue. Abide in it. The apostle had encouraged the brethren to persevere in the faith. You think we need to be taught that? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I need to hear that. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. I need to be told again to let brotherly love continue. Work on it. Continue in the grace of God. Run with patience the race that's set before us. And the evidence that Almighty God has done something for me is that I hear that word and I say in my heart, I desire that brotherly love continue. It's a wonderful thing when brethren dwell together in peace and unity and harmony. I thank God for this assembly. I'm sincere. I'm serious. Serious as I can be. I thank God for your love. Love for me and love for each other. Praying for one another. Our Lord said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. You know, those you love, you'll pray for them. You'll bear their burdens. You'll forgive them. Encourage them. Exhort them. You'll be a brother, sister to them. Why? Because you love them. We're of the same family. We're family. You're my family. I love you. Appreciate you. Love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Love for the brethren is the clearest proof of union with Christ. Love for the brethren. This world has no heart for for God's people because it has no heart for God. But I'm going to tell you something. I find the greatest joy being around you. Just talking with you. And hearing you tell me about your frailties and your slips and your disappointments in yourself. And you know, I'm thinking, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's just how I feel. That's how I go through this day. That's how I suffer. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. He doesn't love God, hate his brother. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? It's an impossibility to love God truly. To love God, to love the Lord God set forth in these scriptures and hate the brethren. It just, you can't do that. He's a liar. No. If he says, I love God and he hates his brother, he's a liar. His love for us is the source of our love. This is why we love each other, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and you think just like I think. You feel like I feel. And our love for Him and for His people is the effect of His love for us. How can we love God and not love that which God has created? Created one in righteousness, made them a new creature, birthed them from above. Same family, same body. This hand right here, I love that hand. That's my hand. But you know, I love that one too. And I love this foot. Why? It's mine. It's my body. That's me. And we're together. We're the body of Christ. We're brethren. Let brotherly love continue. Be cautious of its continuance. You detect something that seems to hinder brotherly love, nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. Secondly, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Be not forgetful. That is, don't neglect. Don't neglect to entertain strangers. That entertain strangers right there, when you look up that word right there, it's hospitable. Don't neglect hospitality. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Hospitality for Christ's sake is an evidence of our love for Christ, and back to verse 1, for the brethren. Now, when it says strangers, it doesn't mean people that we're totally unaware of, that we have no knowledge of who they are. But keeping in the context, going back to verse 1, let brotherly love continue. I know, first of all, strangers that are spoken of here are strangers who are believers. Strangers not to us, but strangers to this world. Look at Hebrews, just turn back to Hebrews 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11:13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Strangers. And it may be a stranger, not only the strangers to this world, it may be a stranger to me, but it's somebody that you know. If they're not a stranger to you, maybe a stranger to me, but a stranger that is a brother, a brethren, and in letting that brotherly love continue. I know I heard Brother Henry say one time, talking about homes, houses. He said, I got homes and houses all over this world. He said, there's brethren all over this world. He said, they'll just open their homes to me and they just, he said, I stay there. He said, I may have never met them personally, but maybe somebody that I've heard of, somebody that introduced me to somebody and this, that. He said, I was a stranger to them. But strangers to this world, strangers possibly to me, but as for a good report, they're not strangers anymore. Be not forgetful. Don't neglect hospitality. Hospitality is a requirement of a bishop, a preacher. One that's given to hospitality. One that recognizes that this world doesn't belong to me. This is God's. All things are His. They just loaned for just a little while. That house of mine, that house of yours, that doesn't belong to you. That's God's. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. And the sign of one that strives after brotherly love, continuing, is he's not neglectful to entertain strangers. Strangers and pilgrims in this world, and strangers in the faith that Almighty God sends. 1 Peter 4:9 says, use hospitality one to another. Listen to this. Without grudging. Without grudging. Hospitality. Now you know what? I need to be taught that. Somebody said, well, what do you think about opening up your home to a believer, to someone, you know, calls, you say, I got somebody coming through. You wouldn't happen to have a place that they could stay, you know, would you? Based on your word. If you called me and said, listen, I've got a friend. It's a brother. It's a sister. Brother and a sister. Man's wife. I've known them for years. Faithful, faithful people. And I have no place for them tonight. Would you be able to? I need to be taught this right here. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Lord, teach me that. Our homes are to be havens of hospitality to the brotherhood, to the brethren. I know many that have been in our homes. The Scripture says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I don't know. If somebody would say, have you ever entertained an actual angel? Not that I know of. I don't think so. Not that I know of. But I can tell you this. I've read in Scripture where some have. I know Abraham did. I'd tell you the ultimate angel that was invited into a home. There was two on the road to Emmaus. And the Lord hid himself from them and talked to these two disciples that were walking on the road to Damascus. And they got to a point and it was end of the day was getting there. And he, the Lord, made as though that he would have gone on. They said, don't do that. Come on in here. Come on into the house. Come on, sit down. Get you something to eat. The Lord revealed himself to them. Oh, what a blessing. I need to be taught that. But I can tell you for a fact that the Scripture speaks of God's preachers as being angels. Angels, the angels, the letters to the angels of the church, the pastors, the preachers. I've had angels in my home. Many of you have too. Angels according to the Lord's word. Be not forgetful, be not neglectful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Here's the heart of hospitality. Let me show it right here. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 38. Here's the heart. Being sympathetic, sensitive to God's people. Matthew 25, verse 38. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison or came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you. Now listen to this. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Now you know, I tell you, that right there is a weighty consideration when it comes to hospitality. Now, here again, I need to be taught this. Well, I think all God's people are real hospitable. I agree with you. And we need to be taught that too. We need to be told. We need to hear that. He takes note. He said, Verily, I say unto you, when you've done it, unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Back in Hebrews 13, number 3, verse 3. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. In our part of the world, we don't see during this particular time frame in history many people being imprisoned for the sake of the gospel here in the United States. But it's not necessarily like that everywhere. There's people that truly are being imprisoned, persecuted for what they believe. And I'm not saying it won't happen. I, to be honest with you, if you want me to tell you what I think, I tell you what I think. I think you may see it in our lifetime, in this country. I think you may. I really do. What I see, attitudes and disrespect and, for the sake of, you know, there's a general disrespect just before false religion. Just a general disrespect. But let me tell you, that general disrespect toward false religion is just the outskirts of the hatred of Satan and this world and this flesh against God's people. There's the heart of it right there. It's not false religion, people. Nobody is mad at false religion. No. Let me tell you who they hate. They hate God's people because they hate God. And I'm not saying that you will see it, but I'm going to say you could see it. It just appears as though. Remember them that are in bonds. It's bound with them. Physically, I mean, actually in jail, could be. Many have been in prison. Paul the Apostle spoke of those that remembered him in his bonds. But those also that are going through trials and tribulations, in bondage, in infirmities, associate yourself with them. Associate yourself with them. Remember them. Pray for them. Pray for them, number one. You know, when that thief on the cross asked the Lord, "Would you remember me when you enter into your kingdom?" Let me tell you what he did not mean. When you enter into your kingdom, when you enter into paradise, he didn't mean, you know, I remember that guy back there on... That's not what he meant. Help me. Help me. Be aid to me. Remember me in prayer. Again, we're of the same body. We're brethren. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." When one of God's people suffer, when they're bound in, if they're in jail or if they're sick, or financially, whatever the bondage is, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. God's people associate with them. They remember them. We talked about Brother Donnie and Mary a while ago. Brother Kevin, Mary's dad and stuff. You pray for them. As the Lord brings them, you pray for them. Try to encourage them. Be associate with them. 4. Marriage is honorable in all. And the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Now, you say, again, doesn't a believer know that? Yes, they do. But I'm going to tell you something we all need to be taught. Marriage is to be held in honor. Honor. Turn to Genesis 2. Do you know where marriage came from? Well, you know where it is. You've read this before, but here again, we need to be taught again about marriage. Marriage was instituted in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 2, 22. Now, here's what God had to say about marriage. "And the rib, Genesis 2:22, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And the Lord said, Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Almighty God instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden. The very fiber of society is built upon marriage, and here's the reason. Marriage is the outward picture of the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride. Now let me tell you the importance. Here again, turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Does it really matter if a man and a woman is married? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's not even up for debate. Marriage is a picture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Let me ask you something. Is it right for the bride of Christ to submit herself unto the Lord, unto her husband? Is that right? You know it is. We submit ourselves unto our Lord. He is our husband. Wives, this is why the wife is to submit herself to her husband. And as I said before, when I perform a wedding, I try to explain this. When it says, wives, submit yourself, adapt yourself. Adapt yourself to your husband. I'll tell the wife that's getting married, the woman and the man standing there, and I'll tell the wife, now listen, you adapt yourself to this man. This man, because I'm going to deal with the husband loving his wife just a second. I said, if this man loves you, has your best at heart, watch over you, protect you, provide for you, adapt yourself to him. If he's truly, I'm not talking about, now this thing of men treating women with disrespect and talking down to them and stuff like that, that's the most disrespectful. I'll tell these husbands where it says, husbands, verse 25, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How did he love the church? He gave himself. He gave all for her. He died for her that she might live. And I'll tell the man that's getting ready to get married, you put her on a pedestal and you treat her with respect. I told him, I said, you treat her as the queen of this house. And don't talk down to her. How does our Lord talk to His bride? Go back and read Song of Solomon. He tells her, he said, you've ravished me, you've stolen my heart. I'm heartless with one of your eyes. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, adapt yourself to your husband. Why does a man and a woman get married? It's a picture of the bride of Christ and her relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ honored marriage by attending that marriage in Cana of Galilee. He honored it with His presence, setting His approval upon it. God's love is evidenced where the honor of marriage is established. If a man can fail to love his wife, to care for her, to devote himself to her, and this is marriage. It's a commitment. It's a commitment. Somebody said, I'm committed, not unless you're married. Oh, you're not. It's a commitment. You stand before a group of people and stand before God Almighty and take those vows and, you know, I give myself to you. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to be your husband. She said, I'm going to be your wife. I'm going to love you, defend you. If that man can fail to love his wife and care for her and devote himself to her and defend her, then he's saying, I don't care. I don't care about God. I don't care about you. I don't care about His bride. Take your marriage vows seriously. Let marriage be held honorably with great esteem. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. No defilement in marriage. But whoremongers and adulterers, God's going to judge. You know, that's a serious statement, isn't it? That's a serious statement. How serious does God Almighty take marriage? Seriously. Whoremongers and adulterers, unmarried, God's going to judge. infraction of the honor of marriage, God's going to deal with it. And it doesn't matter what society says is acceptable. Verses 5 and 6 in closing. Let your conversation, let your walk of life, let your manner of living, your conversation, be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I remember Paul is still speaking of the continuance of brotherly love. Covetousness. The love of this world. The love of this world. The love of self. The love of money. Evidences the lack of brotherly love. More concerned about the things of this world than the brethren, than the love of the brethren. Let your conversation be without coveting things, mess, and stuff at the expense of God's people. Now, let me make good on that. 1 John 3:17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If there is a brother or sister, and they're in need, I'm not talking about laziness, I'm not talking about disrespect, I'm not talking about irresponsibility, I'm talking about need. I'm talking about true need. If there's one in need, and you know it, and you can help them, and you don't, now here again, now we all need to be taught here, don't we? I mean, we need to be taught. You say, well, I know that. I know you know it. I know it. I still need to be taught. I need to hear it. If I see one, if I've got a brother in need, and I shut up my bowels, my heart of compassion from him, does the love of God dwell in me? Well, I may need that. I may need that. If I help him now, what's that going to do for me? Wait a minute, let me read this scripture again. Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You think if God Almighty sends one to cross your path with a need and moves upon you to help them, you think God's going to forsake you? Do you think he's going to leave you destitute? So we may boldly, with confidence, say, the Lord is my helper, and I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. I'm not going to be afraid that I'm going to do without. I need to be taught to live free from the love of money. Now listen, let me tell you something. I know this in closing. Well, you got bills. I understand that. I know that. I mean, it's not that we don't recognize the need that we have. You got to have something to eat. You got to have something to drink. You got to have something to wear. You got to have a house over your head. But my question is this. Loving those things at the expense of our brethren, let brotherly love continue. Letting those things steal my heart, letting those things bind me up, be content with what the Lord has provided. Do you know, I ate breakfast this morning and lunch and supper. And I've got some clothes on right now, and we're right here together. And the Lord's been pleased to meet with us. I'm convinced of that. Now, what else do you need? What else do you need? You got some gas in your car, and you'll get home. And if you don't, if you break down, call somebody. They'll come help you. They'll get you home. You think God's going to forsake you? You think the Lord is going to forsake His people? Almighty God is never going to leave His people to themselves. The Lord, David said, is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not going to want. I'm not going to want for food, for drink, for clothing, housing. I'm not going to want for His presence. I'm not going to want for His love, for His affection. I'm not going to want for His fellowship with His people. I'm not going to want. Be content with the things that you have. We struggle with the flesh concerning this world's good. I know. Lord, give me a heart to be content. Let me be content with that which You provided for me today. Lord, help me from looking at my brother and being insensitive to him, and wishing him well, and hope you get something to eat, hope you get something to wear, hope you're able to make it. Lord bless you. May I love others as I love myself. I'm going to do for myself. I'm going to do for myself, aren't you? Sure you are. You're going to take care of yourself. Love others that way. Be mindful, sensitive of the brethren in bonds. Be careful, be concerned concerning marriage and its honor. Let my conversation be that which becometh, adorns a believer, one that loves Christ, knows Christ, and do it for His sake. Amen.